It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat with host Mike Bellamy on WICC.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Coffee Break Chat. I'm your host, Mike Bellamy. A very tough subject today on the Coffee Break Chat of suicide. Joining us this morning is attorney Josh Koskoff of Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter. A long walk, just a couple of floors up here to visit us here at the radio station. Josh, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for having me on this very serious topic.
Serious, and you know, more and more about it is being uncovered as we unfortunately see more and more parents go through the grief of losing a child when it comes to suicide, or vice versa, a parent, all sorts of different relationships. And with what you do as an attorney, you get involved in these types of situations, unfortunately, after the fact, and try to determine the course that led to this thing from a legal standpoint.
Right.
But you have to bring in the emotion of this touchy subject as well.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on in these cases. And as you touched on, these cases, suicide affects people at every walk of life, rich, poor, old, young, you know, all creeds and colors. And it is an emotional topic because there's a lot of guilt that accompanies every suicide. Everybody asks the question, what could I have done? Or if only I did this. And when we get involved, obviously, unfortunately, there's already been a tragedy. So one of the frustrating things that I'm encountering now with these cases is I am asking myself the question, gee, what could these doctors have done differently? Or this social worker have done differently, or this school have done differently. And there is always something that they could have done differently and should have done differently when it gets to the point of one of my cases. But it is a topic that is a challenging topic for everybody. And one thing that I think that people need to know and why these awareness programs are so important is that mental health needs to be treated like physical health. Nobody would think twice about taking their kid to the doctor with who suddenly spiked a 102 temperature. So why don't we react the same way when our kids suddenly appear incredibly depressed, closed off, comes out of nowhere, maybe they've just had a breakup. We should be reacting the same way, but there's still a stigma about the way these things are treated and that they're treated differently. In fact, they're not. Doctors, healthcare, mental health care professionals, social workers, psychiatrists, psychologists, one of the first things and most important things they learn is how to address risk factors for suicide.
Now, and what's amazing to me, and as you had mentioned, awareness, Out of the Darkness, which is a walk coming up in Sherwood Island, Saturday, October 27th, Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter is a sponsor for this. No matter how many pieces of information come flying out about it, everybody thinks that that's going to happen to the other family. That's going to happen to no matter how many statistics you throw out and how many parents are interviewed saying, I had no idea something like this was happening to my child. We still always think that it's going to happen across the street and not with us. So maybe it's more of a denial that we're all sort of raised with, just to say, not in my house.
You know, that is such a good point, Mike. It is a denial, and it's a parental protection. You know, we want to think of our kids as happy, and we do our best to make our kids happy. But and there are factors that are so beyond our control. There are chemical factors. There are social factors. When they go off to school, maybe, you know, they're experiencing their lives as a young adult for the first time. The last people sometimes to know that their kids are suffering, that people are suffering, is the parents. And so parents need to understand the limitations of what they know. It's not their job to diagnose their child as being so depressed or so at risk that they're going to commit suicide. But the best they can do is just identify that there may be something going on and that it's no shame to take their kid or suggest that the kid gets some help. And there are resources out there, and again, professionals trained to address and separate those who are really at risk from those that aren't.
You know, and we talk about suicide. As we were coming down and sitting down to discuss this interview, I threw out the idea that we're seeing so many instances with younger individuals not necessarily taking their own lives, but setting up a scenario, suicide by cop, or taking aggression out in particular cases such as the Aurora movie theater shooting and other situations where they have a traumatic experience in their life, or they're going through a long list of activities that are causing depression or something, that they sort of lash out in that way as opposed to suicide, where it's almost, yes, a suicide is one case, the Aurora movie theater shooting is another case, but yet there are still responsibilities of individuals who are involved with these individuals.
Right. In fact, the risk factors are primarily the same. The risk factors for going out and harming yourself are overlap almost entirely with the risk factors for going out and harming or killing somebody else. So the treatment is the same, in essence. There are some technical issues with warnings and getting the police involved when you think that a patient is going to harm a particular person, but in sum and substance, a person who is capable of harming themselves is capable of, in most cases, is capable of harming somebody else, especially with our access in this country to firearms. I mean, I think we all saw even last night that the firearm issue is, we lost that issue.
Yeah.
This is a nation of guns and AK-47s.
Josh Koskoff is joining us of Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter. We're talking about the touchy subject of suicide today. And Josh, we had mentioned at the beginning the capacity as an attorney, the horrific situation has occurred, and this is where you get involved from the legal standpoint. We all like to assume that no psychiatrist, psychologist, counselor, or anything goes into a circumstance knowing that a bad thing would happen and just lets it happen. And of course, hindsight is 20/20. How do you balance that issue? Meaning, of course, it doesn't want to become a huge blame game because it's a tragic situation, but then how do you sort of decipher between what should have happened in the incident as opposed to just making it a hindsight 20/20 type of situation?
Right, and that's sort of the hallmark of what separates a meritorious case from one that is just finding somebody to blame. And what I found is that in all the cases that we've handled, we look through the records, we see, did the psychiatrist or social worker or hospital or ER do everything right and they just came to the wrong decision? And if that's the case, depending on how bad that, how unsupportable that decision was, if it was supportable and it's just, then there's nothing they could have done. But the truth is that these interactions are always fraught, that we find that where it becomes an issue is it's the same issue as if you go to a doctor with crushing chest pain and the doctor sends you home with a stomach ache and your loved one drops dead of a heart attack. I mean, there's usually problems with the communication. There's usually problems with listening by the healthcare professional, thinking about what could be at stake, investigating loose ends, not asking family members or other people, and just mailing it in. Human beings are not perfect. And so what we try to do is we try through our cases not only to get compensation for our clients, but also to effect change in the way of the delivery of the mental health care treatment in this instance of suicide.
How much of it is protected, Josh? We're going to take a break here for traffic and weather.
Sure.
When we come back, I want to ask you, how much of it is protected by the doctor-patient privilege, meaning as an attorney, how do you get involved in that situation if everything is protected by that confidentiality that's taking place? And also this event that's happening Saturday, October 27th, a little bit more about that.
Yeah, good cliffhanger.
Take a break for traffic and weather. Right now we do have 50 degrees here at WICC 600 as we continue our conversation for the coffee break chat with attorney Josh Koskoff of Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter. We're talking about the very sensitive issue that is suicide. When Josh gets involved, it's after the fact, and sort of part of the reason for this interview is to sort of, issue the warning out to individuals to pay more attention in these circumstances and to do everything they possibly can to try and stop a situation that so many of your clients have already gone through and situations that they've gone through. We see it in the good episodes of The Sopranos. We see it in other movies. I mean, even Analyze This and Analyze That. There are conversations that individuals have with their psychiatrists, with their doctors, that are protected under this umbrella that is doctor-patient confidentiality. It even applies over to members of the clergy and individuals who can protect that information, because if a person doesn't feel that the stuff that they're saying is confidential, they probably wouldn't say it in the first place. And a lot of the information that you go to gather, Josh, is an after-the-fact situation, and you try to go back in time and look at the progression in this. When it comes to stuff that you're looking at, when it comes to suicide, how many times do you run into a problem when it comes to doctor-patient confidentiality? And if the person is no longer with us, does that protection go away?
That's a very interesting question, and it is a challenge in some cases. In suicide cases where there is a claim that a mental health professional didn't act carefully in the situation, since it's the basis of the claim, we're able to get the records. The privilege of confidentiality does not belong to the psychiatrist or the therapist. It belongs to the patient. So a patient can always waive that confidentiality. And what we find in these cases is that therapists, mental health professionals, they sometimes try to, I say, hide behind confidentiality. Oh, I couldn't have asked the family member more about what was going on because we have confidentiality, me and the patient, who ultimately commits suicide. And yet they never just simply ask the patient, would it be okay with you if I asked your father, your brother, your daughter, what's going on? Because I think the more information I can get, the better I can help you. And so that can be waived. In other cases, the tension is really tough. You know, the obligation to protect the patient versus the obligation not to disclose information. The sort of the touchstone is where a psychiatrist or therapist thinks that the patient is a danger to himself or others. We said again, danger to himself or others, that is the line at which the psychiatrist's obligation is to protect the patient or others. If there is conflict with confidentiality, the confidentiality takes a back seat. You don't often have to get there, but sometimes you do, and that's where the psychiatrists have to choose between protecting somebody and giving up the confidentiality, and the law says you have to err on the side of protecting somebody.
Even if they've committed suicide and they're no longer here, that applies, or does
No, this would apply in a present tense situation. After the fact, if there's a suicide, and again, I represent the family, let's say, the survivor bringer of the lawsuit can authorize the release of the records.
Okay.
And become sort of the de facto client.
And you know, we want to say that this is not an indictment on all counselors and psychiatrists, and this is not saying that their profession is not, you know, that there are, it's just circumstance by circumstance.
Yeah, and I actually think it's saying the opposite. I think it's saying that they have a legitimate profession and with legitimate professional obligations. And let me make one thing clear, Mike. These are very rare cases. The vast majority of time, mental health professionals, ERs, they do their job. You know, they protect people. So I don't want to discourage anybody from seeing any mental health professional for any concerns related to the, you know, depression, recent loss, hopelessness, those kind of things. You know, I want to encourage the public to go and see these people, and that is, you know, the awareness we're trying to create. And just to keep this in mind, that what I'm talking about is when things go wrong. And I'm saying that this is a legitimate profession with legitimate professional obligations, and they should know how to treat these problems.
And Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter is one of the proud sponsors of the Out of the Darkness Walk at Sherwood Island. Tell us a little bit about that, if you could.
Well, this is actually participation in this charity was through a friend of my wife's who was a teacher who lost his daughter to a suicide, and he was one of those parents who it just took completely out of the blue. She was having some problems. He didn't realize the extent of it. And one of those amazing people who has now, instead of curling up into a ball, is trying to bring an awareness to people about the about this problem and about not feeling shamed about seeking help for it. And so this is just another organization, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, that brings an awareness through these walks. This one in particular is in Westport on the 27th of October, and it's the organization is outofthedarkness.org. One of several organizations that deal with this very important issue.
Well, very important issue indeed. Josh, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. If people see warning signs, contact a mental health professional, and it's better to err on the safe side as opposed to letting it go 1 second too long.
I couldn't agree with you more on that, Mike.
Absolutely. Josh, thank you so much. Josh Koskoff, an attorney with Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter, joining us this morning on WICC 600 Traffic.